the rest of the story. Did George remember the day he met Henry Sweet? Oh, how could he forget? A mutual friend, James Leckie, introduced him. For weeks thereafter, George walked about in an idolatrous daze. You see, Henry Sweet was George's hero. And that was a remarkable fact, considering that Mr. Sweet was admired by practically nobody else, for Mr. Sweet was anything but sweet. An acquaintance bidding him good day on the street could expect his greeting answered by a barrage of curses for no apparent reason at all. And his charm only diminished with time. Indeed, it is said that by the end of his life, Mr. Sweet had lost every friend that he ever had except for George. This was the reason. The two men were utterly fascinated, completely enthralled by language. Henry Sweet was perhaps the greatest philologist and phonetician, the greatest language expert in the world. Was he widely revered as such? Oh, no. For so impoverished was he of the commonest social skills that the brilliant but sour Mr. Sweet had neither an official position nor even a regular income until he was 56 years old. Publishing books kept him alive. Even today, a century later, they are considered classics in the field. History of English Sounds, A New English Grammar, Anglo-Saxon Reader, The History of Language, The Sounds of English. Yet, despite the scholarly value of those magnificent tomes, they were insufficiently glorious either to redeem their author or to mitigate the self-destructive side effects of his poisonous personality. So, George stepped in. Determined that Henry Sweet received the recognition and respect due such an outstanding man of letters, George set out to promote the notorious philologist as though his own reputation were somehow at stake. George contacted educator Robert Bridges, proposing the need for a national phonetic institute. And who, Bridges wondered, might preside over such a prestigious organization? Why, Henry Sweet, of course. In any other country in the world, George insisted, Mr. Sweet would be a celebrity, and there in England he ought to be. So Robert Bridges invited George to speak at the Phonetic Conference on Spelling Reform at University College London. On that occasion, George took the opportunity to promote his idol, for the most part, to no avail. Shortly thereafter, George got an idea. If he could not transform Henry Sweet into an academic hero, he would make him a popular one. So he wrote a story based on an ancient legend with Henry Sweet as the main character. But guess what? While George was writing that story, the real Henry Sweet died of pernicious anemia. So while George's delightful tale became a hit stage play, the misanthropic scholar had to enjoy his newfound admiration from his grave. For once upon a time, there was a bitter man named Sweet who missed out on everything, including a modern version of the myth of Pygmalion written by his champion, playwright George Bernard Shaw, in which Henry Sweet is characterized as the irascible, lovable Henry Higgins, and thus the world came to love a grumpy old man. You know the musical comedy Shaw's play became about the genius phonetician who transforms a poor flower girl named Eliza. You know that classic as My Fair Lady. Only now you know the rest of the story.